We've all played the demo, and hopefully you all have, but how linear is the actual game? Will there be multiple endings based upon how you progress through the game?
The game is actually very linear, much in the way that like a movie is very linear. At one point in the design, we did have a couple of choices in the game, and then those led to different endings. But you know, the closer we got to finishing that, we said, you know, these choices aren't as meaningful as we'd like them to be, and the endings aren't all, you know, while they're all different and it's cool to get different endings, they weren't all quite as satisfying as we would have liked them to be. And there was one ending, and we said, you know, this one has the greatest impact on the player. Everyone who gets this ending has been affected in a different way, and it's profound. So let's just steer them towards this ending. So the choices went away, and we steered everyone, like most games have, you know, one ending.
So in what ways are we going to see the city change over time?
Well, things that will change are the things that, you know, we mentioned earlier, things like the cars. You know, in the 1940s, the cars are these boxy people movers that were painted in these dull colors that were available back then. In the 1950s, all these factories that were busy making airplanes are now, you know, for the war, were now making cars again. That's why you couldn't buy a car in the 1940s, because everyone was busy making planes and tanks and all that stuff. Then the 1950s roll around, and the cars look like rocket ships, and there's all these super bright, you know, red and yellow and blue paint schemes. And so the cars really, really evolved. The music, of course, obviously, in 1940s, there was no rock and roll. 1950s roll around, you have the birth of rock and roll. You have artists like Chuck Berry and Little Richard, Buddy Holly. So you're going to experience the birth of rock and roll in the game. The radio is no longer dominated by World War II news reports as it was in the 1940s. So in the 1950s, you're going to hear a lot of advertising for products. And there's a lot of commercialism that happened. 1950s, you know, exploded after World War II was over, the economy, that is. You're not going to see as many propaganda posters. You don't see any propaganda posters, actually, in the 1950s. In the 1940s, that's really all you see, are just ads urging young men to sign up for the Selective Service, you know, for the Army, Navy, Air Force, things like that. Women's fashions tend to change a lot. Men's fashions, you know, guys have been wearing suits for like 100 years, and they really haven't changed too much. But women's fashions tend to change, you know, like every 6 months or every couple of years. So that's something you'll see. Women's fashions and hairstyles will change. That's about all I can think of for now.
That's quite a lot. Could you describe the save mechanic used? I've heard that it's old school, if you die, the level is restarted instead of using a more modernized checkpoint system.
No. You don't start at the beginning of level unless you don't get to the first checkpoint. The checkpoints are, you know, they're not placed every 10 minutes, so it's not like you're just going to die and start where you were, you know, 2 seconds ago. But, you know, you'll start off, and then once you get to the first checkpoint, if you die, you'll start at the checkpoint. So we do have a modern checkpoint system in the game.
Okay, going back to the destruction topic a little bit, but this on the vehicle front, there's been some talk about the destruction in the gameplay, i.e. vehicles and buildings. Can or will there be consequences of the destruction? Will the vehicle not function, make maneuverability hard, et cetera? In other words, how much of the destruction actually affects the storyline?
Well, that's not really storyline. I'd say that's gameplay. So the destruction of anything doesn't really affect the story at all or the storyline. But the vehicles are something where, you know, the cops can shoot out your tire and then it'll go flat. And eventually, if you keep driving on it, it'll fall off. You'll be driving on a rim. That will obviously affect your ability to go fast and to corner. So the cops can easily then overtake you and just start shooting at you if it's a shoot-to-kill situation. So, you know, your vehicle can take damage. Depending on the vehicle, it'll take damage, and then the engine can get damaged, and then the car's performance will suffer. You won't be able to go as fast. So vehicle destruction is something that's very important.
Are there any side missions that can be repeated after the completion of the main storyline? Can the players continue playing in the open world after the end mission, or will users have to restart the last checkpoint to explore the world again?
There is no free roam or free ride mode or anything like that in the game. So you can free roam or you can, you know, do side missions, whatever you like to call them. During most of the main story, you're not really timed to get anywhere except sort of, you know, at the end of the demo, you know, Henry's bleeding to death in the back seat. So obviously in the main game, the continuation of that is you need to get Henry to a doctor before he dies. So things like that. You can't free roam with bleeding friends in the car. But you can free roam whenever you want during the main game. After the game's over, the game's over, that's it. But for PS3, we have that free day one DLC, The Betrayal of Jinny. That is more of an arcade-style free-roaming experience. It's still story-based, but you know, the major objectives Jimmy has to complete don't take an hour like Vito's objectives take. They take, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. So the free DLC and the DLC that's available for everyone, that's called Jimmy's Vendetta, that is those are far more, you know, free-roam based.
Can you give us a little insight into the melee combat in the game? Is it the combat of last resort, or do you want to try and get your character into a melee situation?
Well, it's designed to be easy to understand and rewarding when you can actually pull off the different finishing moves. So it's almost like boxing in a way. You know, Vito's not a kung fu master or anything like that. He can defend himself, but it's mostly with his fists. But the finishing moves are what are my personal favorite. They're context sensitive. So like if you're in your car and the guy's facing the right way, Vito can, you know, will take his head and smash it into the car. If you're not near a car, instead, like, he'll take the guy's head and ram it into his knee. So the finishers are my personal favorite part of that.
Several games of this sort leave the window open for the player to go nuts and create as much carnage as they want. However, there are some that discourage this kind of behavior. Where does Mafia 2 stand?
We'll let you do it to a point, but we do discourage it. The police in Mafia 2 are nowhere near as aggressive as they were in Mafia 1, but they still are a presence. When you start behaving badly, depending on what you've done, the cops will respond in different ways. If it's just a fist fight, you know, you'll have to pay a small fine, or you can resist arrest. If you run someone over and keep driving, they will, you know, they'll use their guns to stop you. If you kill a cop, you're basically dead. You know, they call an officer down, and, you know, and then you're basically labeled a cop killer, and every cop in the city will stop at nothing to kill you. So it's, you know, it's realistic, and you can fight the cops. The cops aren't supermen. They're not wearing body armor or anything like that. They didn't have that back then. So if you're very well-equipped weapon-wise and you're ready to take on the cops, you can try it, but you'll probably die eventually.
So how vast is the explorable area compared to the original Mafia?
Empire Bay, as opposed to Lost Heaven, Empire Bay is twice the size, roughly, so it's 10 square miles of fully explorable real estate.
Mafia 2 is said to be boasting real-time cutscenes. What benefits are there to code real-time cutscenes versus pre-rendered?
Well, technically it's a little bit of a disk space issue. You know, you don't have to have this pre-rendered video living on the disk anywhere. It's just you're using, you know, the same or similar assets in every scene. And, you know, we do provide a lot of customization for what Vito can wear. So we have all this clothing in the game, and depending on what you choose to wear, Vito is wearing that in the cutscene. So it's like, you know, it's like a different, deeper level of customization in the game with these real-time cutscenes.
So will hijacking every car in Mafia 2 require the lock-picking minigame?
Hijacking, to me, usually means that there's someone in the car already. So when there's someone in the car, and if it's going slow enough or if it's just stopped, you can just pull open the door with the open door button, and you'll throw the guy out, or you'll help the lady out of the car, depending on who's driving it. If you want to break into a stationary vehicle with no one in it, you can break the window with the action button, or you can pick the lock if you don't want to damage the vehicle.
So will wearing different clothes have an effect on missions, i.e. make you easier or harder to be spotted by the police?
No, not really. This isn't a game where you can wear a giant purple pimp hat or, you know, a crazy bright red suit. You do have to dress like a mobster would dress. So there's nothing that Vito can wear that's really extravagant or loud or anything like that.
Will there be more, quote, sneaking missions like the sewer mission?
Yes, but I won't go into exactly what that is.
What kind of weapons can we expect? Anything that we might be familiar with?
Well, if you're familiar with World War II shooters, you'll see a lot of World War II era weapons in there, like the M1 Garand will be in there, a 1911 semi-automatic pistol. I think there's around 20 weapons altogether, you know, grenades, Molotov cocktails. Shotguns, the Tommy gun, of course. You can't make an old school Mafia game without a Tommy gun. the M3 grease gun. So it's a nice mix of American and exotic weaponry from the era.
So what would you say immediately makes your game stand out from other open world sandbox type games?
With Mafia 2, I think it's our focus on the story and the storytelling, the linearity of it. And these are all things we did on purpose. We wanted it to really feel like a cinematic experience. In a similar respect, there's no other game out there that has this level of driving and shooter combat, melee combat, wrapped up in a city, that takes place in this set that's 10 square miles, and really just evokes this era of this world that no longer exists. But there's really nothing else out there like it to me.
The story in Mafia was epic, taking the protagonist from a taxi driver to made man to police informant to an old man. Is Mafia 2 going to be just as big a story, and what films and events influenced the story in Mafia 2?
I don't know what films and events really did that. The story was originally written by Daniel Bava, the guy who wrote the first game, so it is just as epic. The only reason Mafia 1 took Tommy to where he was an old man is because you would have seen the ending. I'm not going to give away the ending to Mafia 2, but it is just as epic, and I can't answer what films or events influence the story. I know that Daniel is a history buff, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was influenced by historical characters.
Then this may or may not make this next question difficult to answer. How difficult is it to create a new gangster story without falling into Mafia cliches that have been done time and time again?
Well, the reason that the Mafia stuff is maybe considered cliche and that's done time and time again is because the Mafia is very much like a military organization. You have to behave one way and only one way. You have to do certain things and only certain things, or they kill you. So it's not like you can just have a guy who's a mobster / something else, or like you have to be a mobster and you have to act like you got to act like a wise guy if you're a wise guy. So, and there are rules to this organization. Like I said, it's like the military, but obviously different uniforms.
So how will the backstory of Vito being a World War II vet influence Mafia 2?
Well, Vito is, he's an ex-soldier at the start of the game. He's seen the hell and the horror of war in World War II. So when he's asked, and you guys have seen this in probably the August 2007 trailer that we debuted at Leipzig, he's asked by a high-ranking member of one of the Mafia families in the game, more or less he's saying, can you kill? And, Vito's response to this is, I was in the war, asshole, of course I can kill. So he's saying, look, all this little Mafia stuff that you guys are doing back here is great, and I'd love to be a part of it, but it's nothing compared to what I went to overseas in the war. So that's, where Vito isn't one of those guys who sit there and talks and tells war stories with his buddies, so he did see some crazy shit in the war. And that's what makes, him able to stomach this stuff. He's not just a nice little guy off the streets. He's like, oh, yeah, sure, give me a gun. I can kill that guy. He's someone who's had to do this before.
Will we see any references or cameos to Mafia 1?
There will be some stuff. I've said in the past there will be some stuff in there for fans of Mafia 1, but I won't say exactly what it is. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
All right. We've got a bunch of Playboy-related questions. Surprising. How did the association with Playboy come about? Did the team approach Playboy with the idea of including Playmates from the time period or vice versa?
Well, Playboy was one of those things that, we'd always planned to advertise in Playboy because it kind of embodies, what we call the good life, what the mobsters would, aspire to become. A well-dressed guy with pretty girls, fast cars. And so Playboy to us always embodied what it was to be a gangster. And when it came time to find collectibles to put in the game, we felt should we have, what are we going to hide all over the world to encourage exploration? Because that's what you do when you have a game world that's, literally 10 square miles in size. You have to hide these things all over the world and encourage people to explore and pick them up and maybe go a little off the beaten path. So we said, is it going to be, concrete boots? Is it going to be brass knuckles? Something like that. Those are really cheesy. And we had a phony gentleman's magazine that we created for the game. We said, wouldn't it be cool if this was Playboy? And one of the guys in our marketing department, he already had a relationship with someone at Playboy, so he just made a phone call and they went for it.
Cool. And for people who don't know, that's the one in the 50s is when the Playboy magazine first came out, so it was also timed with that. And can you talk a little bit about what people see with the magazines?
Yeah, we have 50 Playboy original, and these are original covers from the 50s and 50 centerfolds.
And which sort of covers off on this question, which somebody said, we get to collect vintage issues of Playboy, but how much of the magazine is viewable outside of the cover? Because, you know, I want to read the articles.
I enjoy the articles as well.
But I guess the articles didn't make the cut?
No, the articles did not make the cut. There was only room, I guess it must have been a disk space issue.